Now, we're going to talk about trusting in the Lord today. You know, you think most people will say, well, I trust the Lord. Well, let's look at what trust is. Praise God. Today, we're going to need to judge ourselves. You know, we need to do that all the time. We need to think about what trust is. You know, every day we place ourselves in a place of trust. We use our trust automatically. You know, you came in today and you sat down in that chair and you didn't have any problem about it. You just came in and sat down. You didn't look at the chair to see if it was made properly. Now, an engineer like Brother Terrace might, an adjuster like I was, you know, might think about, is it strong enough to hold me? But most of us did not do that. We just came in and we sat down. We trusted in that chair. Well, we place our trust every day in something, every moment of our life. We place our trust without even knowing it. We place our trust in family. We place our trust in people, people we know, some people we don't know. We place our trust in our government. Most of us do. We place our trust in almost everything in life. We place our trust in our wife. We place our trust in our husband. Our police department, fire department, and many other things, we place our trust in those things. Well, we need to remember that when we place our trust in them, they are placing their trust in us. So many of us think about other people being trustworthy, that we can trust them, but we very seldom think about ourselves being trustworthy. We need to work on ourselves more than anybody else. Well, I ask you, are you trustworthy? Only you know whether you are or not. Now, there are some people that say, no, that guy's not trustworthy. What does trustworthy mean? It means that I am preparing myself. I'm working on myself that others can trust me with something. You know, we need to be trustworthy in our jobs. We need to be trustworthy with our family and friends. But if we really are trustworthy, we're people of integrity. Integrity. Do you know anybody that has a life of integrity? I hope we do. We should. We should be people of integrity in our lives. You know, relationships have to be built. They don't just happen. A relationship that just happens is not going to last very long. But a relationship that is built on trust, that relationship will last. Our relationships must be built on trust, or they will not last. A marriage needs to be built on trust. A relationship at a job, employer, employee, have to be based on trust. You think, well, that guy has to trust me, I'm doing my job. Well, you're trusting him to pay you at the end of the week. What happens when he doesn't do that? The thing might get out of kilter a little bit if you don't get paid. Well, you're trusting him. You're putting in your week's work, and you trust that you'll get the agreed to salary at the end of the week. Well, in these dark times that we're living in, you know, we need to trust more than ever before. I look around and I listen to the news and I watch people. There's not much trust in things today. Not like there used to be. We need to trust in these dark times that we're living in. We have to put our trust in people and things. But we may be in a place in our life where we think, well, there's not much I trust in anymore. The things I used to trust in are failing me. They're failing me right and left. I can no longer say that I trust people. I may not be able to trust my wife anymore. Why not? You should be able to. She's granted her trust to you. You should be granting your trust to them. You know, we may be at that place. Well, we can't trust anyone anymore or anything. Well, we need to change that. There's a problem in our life somewhere because we're not trusting anymore. The one major question that we all need to ask ourselves is, do we really trust God? Think about that just for a moment before we go any further. Do you really trust God? Do you? Well, then why do we respond to things the way we do? Why don't our words and our actions line up with that trust? I need to ask myself that. If I say I trust God, then I automatically trust His Word. God and His Word are one. If you trust God, you trust His Word. If you don't trust His Word, you can't trust God, because they are one.
Amen.
Do you trust God and His Word? How many of you, at one time or another, or maybe you've heard somebody say something like, well, I know, brother, that the Word does say that, but, you know, I just don't see how that could possibly happen. What's the problem? Isn't that a trust issue right there? If you trusted God and His Word, that question should never have come up. Now, most of the time, you're not going to understand how it's going to work, because His ways are so much higher than ours. But He's made reveal them to us. The Word says He has. How did He reveal His ways to us? Right here.
Amen.
Most of us will go through problems and issues and never even open this. We never go to see what He said. How can I trust Him and trust His Word if I don't go to it? I can't. I'm basing my trust on what God, I thought He said, or what somebody else said He said, or a religious idea. Just because your denomination in church says it says that, you better find out for yourself, because you're banking your eternity on that. You know, you're only going to pass through this life one time. Just one. And it's only one life. It's your life. It's the one you're responsible for. So no one else anywhere can base their trust on something other than you. You have to decide what you trust in. I am placing my trust in God. You have to make that the same decision. I can't trust God because my wife does. I have to know why I trust Him. I'm building something in my life. I'm banking my eternity on this. You know, so we need to know that we trust God. Most of us would really say we do. But when the rubber meets the road, do I? When the doctor says, I've got the running hypochondris or something, and there's no cure for it. Well, am I going to trust that? Now, that doctor's not lying to me. He's basing what he said on the scientific evidence. He can show you got this, and prove it. But where's my trust? Whose report are we going to believe? Now, if the running hypochondris was not paid for by the blood of Jesus, then you've got a problem. If you had not been redeemed from the curse of the law, if you have not been redeemed, then you've got a problem. You better get redeemed. You better get saved. But God's promises are true. They're 100% true. He paid the price for the running hypochondris. Or anything in any way that is a disease, man-made or otherwise. It doesn't matter. He paid for it. It's paid. Your healing is in your account in heaven. He doesn't go back to the cross again and pay for it again. He doesn't go to the cross every time somebody gets saved. He paid it, whether you receive that redemption or not. Whether you receive that or not. But you have to trust Him. In order for that healing of the running hypochondris or whatever it is to be manifest, you have to trust His Word. You have to trust Him in that area. That means you're putting everything in your life, all of your trust, on something that is not seen. That doctor cannot prove to you Jesus healed you. But the Word can. So you have to place your trust in the Word. And proceed. Do what you need to do. But do it in the name of Jesus. Praying, believing His Word, trusting Him. Not denying or doubting. Let's look at the definitions for trust. When I like to look at dictionaries a lot and find out what a word means. Sometimes it means something other than what I think it does. But let's take a look at the word trust here. It means a firm belief in the reality, in the reliability, truth of ability. Pardon me. The firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, strength of someone or something. The synonym is confidence, belief, faith, freedom from, and suspicion, freedom from suspicion and doubt, sureness, certainty, or reliance. The antonym or the opposite is distrust, mistrust, skepticism. If you have skepticism about a promise or about something that the Bible says, if you're skeptical about that or about a person, then you're not trusting them. You have to decide, am I going to remain skeptical or I'm going to trust? Well, what happens if he does this to me? You're not trusting. See, you have to grant your trust to that person. So you're not trusting. But if you have confidence, belief, and faith, then you're trusting. The verb is for trust is to believe in the reliability, truth. Notice it says believe in. Believe in. If you don't believe in, then you're not trusting. Believe in the reliability, truth, availability, or the strength of someone or something. The synonyms are have faith in, put in place one's trust in, have every confidence in, believe in, pin one's hopes on, faith on, rely on, depend on, bank on, count on, be sure of, be convinced of, swear by, confide in. Does any of those line up with how you see and what you believe in the Word? Do you have confidence in it? If you don't have confidence in the Word, then you don't trust. You don't trust. Well, I thought that was faith. Well, faith and trust run together. You cannot have faith without trust. You cannot have trust without faith. They run together. They're not the same. They're close. Faith is on a much higher level than just trust. To properly understand trust, we must understand, first of all, that trust cannot be earned. Now, the first time I said that, they didn't believe that. But you think about it for a little while. Trust cannot be earned. It has to be granted. A person may be totally, absolutely trustworthy. I mean, he's proved it. He is 100% integrity in his life. No matter where you go, no matter how much you check up on him, no matter how much you do a background check, everything else, he's proven he is trustworthy. Now, the next step has to be taken. The person or the entity, like a business or a job, has to determine if I want to grant my trust to them. For instance, another instance, you and your wife or husband have a big difference, or maybe it's you and your employee or employer, or a friend, family, or friend, or whatever. There's a problem here between two people or more. And those two people are in conflict, and the one guy says, okay, if you do this, this, and this, and this, then I may trust you. So you go out and you do all of those things. You're going to prove to this person that you are a person that they can trust now. Because for some reason they don't no more. So you prove that. And then you come back to them and you've done all of that. You've proved everything. But they can still say, well, I'll think about it. Why? Because they did not grant you their trust. You know, when I went to work for this insurance company, I had 36 counties, and I was the only one in those 36 counties. I had everything to do there. I had never seen a boss. I talked to him on the phone occasionally. What did they do? They granted me their trust. When you go to work at a bank, what do? They see if you're trustworthy, and then they grant you their trust. If they don't grant you their trust, what happens? You're not going to get hired. Now you have to continue to prove you're trustworthy as you work there, because there are certain things. If you steal money or don't do your books right, then you're no longer trustworthy anymore. So they remove their trust. They ungrant it, so to speak. Well, there's no difference between you and God. God has granted his trust to us. He granted it. He trusts us. Now we, in turn, have to grant our trust to him. That's what you do when you get saved. You lived a life, no matter a real bad life or a life with a lot of abuse and hurt, and you come to Jesus and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, what did you do? You granted Him your trust. You trust Him. Otherwise, why would you get saved? For one thing, you didn't get saved if you didn't grant Him your trust. But all along, He's granted you His. Trust is of great value. You can have a good relationship with someone, but never ever grant them your trust. Think about it. Have you ever granted your wife or husband your absolute, total trust? I've done that. We've been doing it for 50 years. She's granted her, I don't even question whether she's granted her trust to me. I'm the one that has to remain trustworthy to her. I know she's granted hers to me. Well, I have to grant mine to her. That's what happens when you get married, when you say, I do. That's exactly what took place. Even if she would do something that would not prove to be trustworthy, I'd still grant my trust to her. I don't question what she does. She's my friend in life. And that's the way it must be with God. We must come to the place where I grant my unconditional trust to Him. And when I grant my trust to Him, I've granted my trust to His Word. What it says is right. It's always right. It's always real. No matter what a person does to become trustworthy, that person must be, that trust must be granted. It cannot be earned. I need you to remember that. Remember it. It's vital to your relationships, and it's vital to your relationship with God. You have to grant Him your trust. And let me add a little idiom on that. That's a moment-by-moment decision. I can grant my trust to Him now. That doesn't mean that it's not, I don't have to do it in the next few moments when something else comes up. It's an ongoing thing, a daily, moment-by-moment, every circumstance and situation. It's a moment-by-moment, ongoing situation, circumstance that we have to do. We have to grant our trust to God. We have to. That's something that only you can do. And you need to mean business with it, by the way. When we truly trust God, we trust His living Word. God cannot lie. God and His Word are one. God's living Word is absolute truth. It is absolutely trustworthy. That doesn't mean I trust it. See what I'm talking about? God cannot lie, so everything He says is absolute truth, but that don't mean I trust it. If I did, why am I going through the problems I am? When it says, by His stripes I'm healed, my God shall meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you are more than conquerors, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you trust that? He didn't stutter when He said it. Do I trust it? Well, if I do, my response to the circumstances are going to be different. Why do I worry about my problems if He's dealt with them? It doesn't mean I don't have a response to make, but I make it in faith and trust in God and His Word. Do you do that? You're going to have to ask yourself. Maybe you're going through a major problem right now. Maybe you have, or maybe you will be. All of us will have problems and issues in life. Ask yourself about your trust level. Our trust in God and His living Word must be on a higher level than our trust in anyone or anything else. Say that with me. Our trust in God and His living Word must be on a higher level than our trust in anyone or anything else. Now, if you mean business, let's make it personal. That hour should be my. If you can say it with me as a declaration of faith, say it with me. My trust in God and His living Word must be on, I'll say is on, a higher level than my trust in anyone or anything else. I need to change that must to an is. A must is still a decision area. But when I say my trust is, my trust in God and His living Word is on a higher level than my trust in anyone or anything else. I want you to keep that in your thoughts. When you go through the problems and issues of life, think about it. Where is my trust? Is it in God? Or am I trusting this other person, this company, this business, the government, whatever it is? Where is my highest trust level? If my trust is in God and His Word, then that's where I go first. And I don't leave there. Everything else is based on my trust level with God. So think about that. You might want to write that down if you want to. Or ask me later and I'll give it to you. But then I got to ask myself, do I really? Have I really done that? And the next time the situation comes up, do I? This is something, question yourself more than somebody else does. Let's look at Proverbs 3. This bears that out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart?
All.
All. All means all, doesn't it? Okay, and what's your heart? That's you. That's your spirit. That's the real essence of who you are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, does it say you should? It doesn't say that, does it? That's in the context of a commandment. As far as God is concerned, that's your commandment. You're supposed to live by it. When you're facing that problem or circumstance or situation, and you say, I just can't see how I can trust this scripture. It can't happen this way. It's not real. It can't be. It makes no sense. It's scientifically impossible. You don't trust. See, the word's a higher law than science. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. That also means on somebody else's understanding. If I'm trusting somebody else here and what they're saying, and it goes contrary to the Word, I'm leaning on that. I'm not, my understanding is I'm basing it on what this person or company said. So I'm supposed to repent of that, change that, and put my understanding back on God, even if I don't understand what it says. I don't see how it will work. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, now they're back to all again. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We like Him directing our path. We'll ask Him for a way out of this. We'll ask Him for understanding. God, please get me out of this. And you mean business, and God wants to. But you haven't done the rest of this verse. You haven't trusted in Him with all your heart. You haven't leaned on Him. And you haven't acknowledged Him in all your ways. Now that means the last time you cussed somebody out, that's not leaning on Him in all of His ways. You're supposed to have loved that person. Your love walks out of order. You see, we need to lean on Him in all of your ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. You did not acknowledge Him in that way. You see, we're getting real here. And then He shall direct your paths. See, you're involved in whether or not He can direct your path. We all want Him to. We all want Him to. But we don't analyze our life to see if there's something out of order when it doesn't work. We just think God didn't do His job. He's already done His job. He doesn't have to do it. He did it. Now I'm authorizing what He did to work. But I've got to do that. I've got to trust Him with all my heart. I've got to lean not on my own understanding. And I've got to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. That's my job. Otherwise, He cannot go against His own Word. So you keep him from doing his job when you don't do that. David knew this. You see it all through David in Samuel and all through Psalms and his prayers and stuff and his songs. You see that David knew this. But what did he do? He didn't just know it. He declared it. When you trust God with all of your heart, it needs to come out of your mouth. Don't just think it. Declare it. Get your scripture. I believe this. By his stripes ye were healed. I trust this word. You declare it. I trust this word. I trust you, God. David knew it, this, and he declared it. Let's look at Psalm 25 and verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. O my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. What did he say there? He said, I trust you, God. That's exactly what he said. But notice how he said it. When Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, that's what David's doing. He said, unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. Now, your life is made up of everything you are. It's all of your hurts. It's all of your worries. It's all of your problems and issues of life, those you've had, those bad times you've had in the past. It also makes up everything you will do or be doing. It makes up your past, present, and future. Makes up every breath that you have. I bring my life to you. That doesn't mean you hang on to it when you bring it to him. It means I'm bringing it to you, Lord, and I'm placing it in your hands. I trust you, Lord, with my life. That's what you're doing. And that's the way David handled his life. And he said, oh my God, I lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. All of those are synonyms for trust that we read earlier. What's he saying? I'm leaning on you, God. I'm leaning. What happens if he's not trustworthy? Where am I going? I'm going down. I'm leaning on this pulpit. If you move it, I'm going right down there. But I know I won't go down there because I'm leaning on him. I'm leaning on his word. I'm leaning on what he said. Not on what somebody said it says. I find out for myself. I'm leaning on him. I'm trusting him. I have confidence in him. Now the King James and the New King James, in that verse where it says, unto you, O Lord, I bring my life, they say, I bring my soul. Now I like the Amplified Classic better because I really think that's what David is saying. That's what the Greek and Hebrew says. It's stronger than my soul. My soul is a part of my life. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So do you. If I'm saying my life, I'm bringing my spirit, soul, and body to him and everything that is. But if I say I'm bringing my soul to him, that's my mind, emotions, and will. Which that's good, and that'll affect my whole life. But it's not as strong as the Amplified is when it says I bring my life. My life means everything I am, leaving nothing out, and everything I'll ever be. But my soul is just encompassed in my mind, emotions, and will. Both are good, but one's not as good as the other, my personal opinion. The Amplified Bible says to believe in, trust in, or rely on God, it means that you adhere to him, like I just showed you, and lean on him in every area of life. When I truly set my love upon God and habitually walk the love walk as a lifestyle, I will trust God no matter what. No matter what takes place in my life. But it means I must put my trust in him. Put my love on him. Set my love upon God. When I really do that, when I have set my love upon God as a lifestyle, then I will learn how to trust and rely on him. Because I've set my love upon him. When we truly trust God, we position ourselves for him to accomplish his will in our lives. If I do not trust him, he cannot accomplish his will in my life. I'm involved in him accomplishing his will in my life. Okay? So when I trust him, I open the door up. When I, in any area where I don't, then I close that door. It's not God that's not moving. It's me that's not positioning myself. So when I position myself to trust him and to love him, then he can accomplish his will in my life. Psalm 31, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. None of that works if you don't trust him. That's why I highlighted that. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. That word fear is not afraid. It means reverence. If you go to the dictionary, that's one of the definitions for fear, is reverence. Which you have laid up for those who fear and reverentially fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust you. Notice, you have to trust before the goodness can come. In the presence of the sons of men. If I can't trust God in the presence of those around me, I'm really not trusting him. That it should be obvious when I'm in relationships, no matter what type of relationship that is. It must be obvious that I trust him. If I'm wishy-washy, then I really don't trust him. Okay. Again, I say we must trust him. Psalm 91, verse 4, I love this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice there's a relationship whose power no foe can withstand. I will say, this is what you must say, declare, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. You say that. When you don't just say it. It doesn't do anything. But when you say it, you mean it. Otherwise, you're not in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed. So if I trust him, if I'm in this relationship with him, then he protects me. I'm in a place of protection. I'm in a place of provision. All of Psalm 91, all of it, is related to those couple verses right there in the beginning. That has to be there before the rest of the Psalm 91 applies. Otherwise, it don't work for you. Now, I say, on him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Notice verse 3. For then... See how it unlocks something? For then, when I do that, John, you go over here and mow the lawn, and then I will give you $20. If he doesn't mow the yard, does the then apply? It doesn't, does it? He's not going to get the $20. But if he does the yard, then he can confidently trust that I will give him the $20. For then. And that's what this is saying. When I trust him, when I place my trust in him, for then he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence of verse 4. Then he will cover me with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield for me. We cannot truly trust God without setting our love upon him. Setting our love upon him opens the door for God to pour out his blessings upon us. No love, no blessings. Psalm 91, verse 14. I love this part of Psalm 91 because it goes all the way through the promises that God makes because I set my love upon him. And at the end of Psalm 91, see, I speak the first two verses. Then the word declares what happens because I do that. And then at the end, God talks. I like to hear God talk, don't you? I like to hear what he says. But none of this applies without the first verse. Because, now remember, this is God, not Michael. And it's really not Moses who wrote this. It's God saying this. Because he has set his love upon me. Think about cause and effect. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore. Again, that means then. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never leave him, I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And the context in that is right now. I'm going to answer him right now. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You notice your length of your life is directly tied to your love, with setting your love upon God. Right there. With long life will I satisfy him. If I'm not satisfied, I don't have to go. Okay? Go wait till you're satisfied. That's so important to us. If we set our love upon him, I declare this psalm every day in my life. And sometimes twice. And at the end, I'll declare it the way it's written. And then I declare it differently. I make it personal. Lord, your word says, because I have set my love upon you, therefore you will deliver me. You will set me on high because I know and understand your name. I have a personal knowledge of your mercy, love, and kindness. I trust and rely on you, knowing you will never forsake me, no, never. I will call upon you and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. With long life will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. How can I say that and not be a lie? I can say it because I trust his word. He said it. Amen. So I say it because he said it. I make it personal. Psalm 34. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. None. None. Do you trust him? Psalm 37, verse 3. You really need to take all of Psalm 37 and just spend a lot of time in it. The first 7 or 8 verses are very important. And the whole psalm is. This is another one I declare every day. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Whose idea of good is that? That's his idea of what good is. And that's love walk. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Notice my part there. I trust, I dwell, and I delight. That's my job. If I don't dwell, trust, and delight, then the rest of this don't work. I do the dwelling. That means I live there. I live in his word. There's a relationship between God and I and the word and I. The more you dwell in the word, the stronger you get. The more joy is in your life. The more you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The more he can lead and guide you right through the storms of life. And you'll walk through that problem that you have with joy. You'll still have to walk through it. But I can guarantee you the problem will be shorter because of your relationship with him. And he's leading you through it. But if you don't do these things, if you don't trust, delight, and dwell, then he can't do his part. It's illegal for him to do it for you. You are involved. So, the true desires, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, there are desires in each of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we don't know that are there. They're there because the Holy Spirit put them there. They're God's desires for us. They're resident in each of us. They're there. We may not even know that we desire that, but we do because of a relationship with him. But when we do these things, when we trust, when we dwell, trust, and delight, it says here that He will bring those desires forth. Why? Because we have a relationship. You know, our true desires are not what we think they are. They're not that new car. There's a deeper desire in me that is resident there by the Holy Spirit that I have to connect with, and I have to allow Him to bring them up. And that's caused by relationship. Let's look at the next verse, verse 5. Commit your way. Now, there's another part I have to do. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Trust is involved again. And He shall bring it to pass. Let's look at the Amplified Classic in that. I don't know whether I put that up or not. I don't think I did. Did I? No, I didn't put it up there. This is what the Amplified says in verse 5. The New King James, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The Amplified Classic says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in Him. So it says, whatever your cares are, whatever your burdens and problems and issues are, roll them over on Him. And He will cause them to come to pass. He will fix that. But you have to do the rolling, and you have to do the trusting. Now verse 6. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Say that with me. Do not fret. In other words, don't do that. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. The Amplified there says, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait patiently and lean yourself upon Him. So rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. While you're waiting, you're not just waiting. You're trusting during that period of waiting. There's a process in everything we do. There's always a process. No matter what the project is, there's a process. You know, people talk about suddenlies all the time. Well, that was a suddenly. There's no such thing as a suddenly. There was a process that led to the suddenly that you didn't see. It was a suddenly you. But there's a process that brought that to pass that you're not aware of. So there's always a process. So part of that process of the Lord bringing things to pass in my life is waiting on Him. It doesn't mean just giving Him a cup of water or whatever. That's a kind of waiting. It means trusting Him. Staying in the... What do I do during that time? I wait. I praise. I study the Word. I dwell on the Scripture that I'm standing on. I'm confessing that Scripture. I'm trusting it, knowing that it will come to pass.
Amen.
It's not a time when I question it. It's a time when I know, because He said it. I trust it. So I got to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. If I'm anxious about something, so many of us, we have problems with anxiety and all kinds of other things like that. It's because we're not at rest. And when I trust God, when I trust His Word, it brings rest to me. Anxiety kind of just leaves. Because I got something higher than that issue or problem that I'm resting in, that I'm trusting in. When anxiety comes your way, ask yourself, where's my trust? If I trusted God the way I'm supposed to, if I trust His Word the way I'm supposed to, why am I anxious about this? You shouldn't be. Because you can rest in Him. And if you still have that anxiety, stay right there in the Word. Keep confessing it. Keep believing it. The anxiety will eventually leave. But you have to do warfare with it. Okay. When we truly trust God, we recognize that it is not our responsibility to make things come to pass. You hear what I said? When we truly trust God, we recognize that it is not our or my responsibility to make things come to pass.
That really gives us a great peace.
Amen. Pardon?
It gives us a great peace.
He gives us that peace. That's part of that resting in the Lord, part of that waiting and the trusting. The peace comes. So when we truly trust God, we recognize that it is not our responsibility to make things come to pass. We are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He brings it to pass based on His word, because we set our love upon Him and trust Him. If I'm busy trying to find a way to make this happen, I'm not resting. And I'm not trusting. If His word says, this will happen if you trust me, if you meet the qualifications, that's in every promise as a qualification. If you meet the qualifications for what you're working on, and you trust it, rest. Quit trying to make it happen. Quit trying to find ways for it to happen. All you do is think about, Lord, what is my responsibility here? He'll show you if you have to do something. You'll know if you have something you have to go do. Otherwise, you rest. If it takes a year, it takes a year. You rest and trust God. We want to run out and make it happen. Or the first thing we do is, why isn't this working? You've lost your trust. The moment you say, why isn't this working? That's doubt. And doubt is not trust. You'll have to repent of that and go right back to your trust. That's why you lock yourself into the promise, the word. It cannot lie. So you lock yourself into that word, and every time doubt comes up, you fight it with that word. Yeah, but it is written. This is what I trust. You may have to do that 1,000 times in a day. God will always give us an assignment that is absolutely impossible for us to do, to where we have to solely rely on Him to bring it to pass. Otherwise, we would never need our faith. We would not need to trust in Him if we can do it ourselves. So when you're facing something that you cannot do, that's a perfect place for you to trust God. That's a perfect time for you to dig into the Word. That's a perfect time for you to exercise your faith and patience. But if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to have to work your way out yourself. I don't want to do that. I've done that. I've worked myself. I've had to try to make things happen. And guess what? All it does is put it off. Every time you try to make something happen, it's going to take you longer to get it to happen. But when you take God's word and you establish it, and you put your trust and confidence in it, it shortens that duration.
Amen.
But when you bring in doubt and worry, who's functioning there? You're authorizing the enemy to work. So he's keeping it from coming to pass. And you're allowing it. But when you get yourself, I'm trusting God. I'm just going to trust God here. I don't care what happens. I'm trusting God. I trust God. I have a friend of mine that I talked to. I've shared this before here, but some of you are not here. Years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was out with breakfast to him. He's just a close friend, and I've known him for 20 years or more. And every time you talk to him or you share with him a little bit or talk about your past in any way, he would come up and start talking about how bad his past was and how he failed God. And he was living a life of failure with God for those 20 years. He'd never left him. He was a man of the Word. He trusts the Word. He a preacher, you know. And he loved the Lord. But he couldn't get past what he did in the past. And I told him, I don't know how many times I've talked to him. But we left the restaurant and sat out in the car for a while. And he was still talking and sharing that. I know better than to open the door, but I opened the door. Okay. So, anyways, he's sharing all of this, and I guess it was God opening the door, not me. But I was listening to him, and I told him, I said, call him my name, and I said, you're going to have to see your past as being in the rock of time. This hurt that you've been going through, this problem you had, you cannot change it. It's in the rock of time, not the sands of time. It's in the rock. It's like a fossil. I got a fossil on my desk, shows me that. A little snail or something. But it's, who knows, billion years old? I don't know. but it's in that rock. And I told him, I said, that, I related that, he saw it before, and I related that fossil to him, and I said, that little fossil, that little snail in there, it used to live, it crawled around, it had babies, it done everything a living thing done. And now you can still see its shape, it's there, it's a real snail that lived, it's in that rock, but it can't move. It can't do anything, it can only move when I move it. But it has no life, it can't do anything. And that's your past. It's in the rock of time. And when he went on and talking there, he said, I lost trust in my wife, I lost trust in this and that. And he had a long list. And he said, I lost trust in God, and he listed a few more, and then he stopped. He said, wait a minute, Mike. Is that where I missed it? Right there inside me, the Holy Spirit said, yes. That's what I told him. Yes, that's what you missed it right there. When you lost trust in God, you lost everything. And then I gave him the answer. The Holy Spirit showed me this. I'd never thought about it before. And I called him my name and I said, you're going to have to take that circumstance and situation. You're going to have to hold it up to God as if it's in your hands and say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And then let it go. Mm-hmm. Never to pick it up. That's what God expects us to do with those hurts and those worries and fears that we go through daily and that are in our past. No matter what it is, that's what you have to do with it. You have to give it to Him. That's what we just read in Psalms. Roll and repose every care over on Him. When you truly trust Him, when you truly have set your love on God, no matter what it is, trust Him with it. I told him, I said, just do it just like I'm doing it right here. I said, see yourself doing that. And at that time, it went off of me. Now, I know I trusted God. I've always trusted God. At least I thought I had. But when I said that to him, it came up on me in my own self. Michael, you've not done that. You've not done that. You're not taking your problems and issues that you face. It's a problem with being a teacher or a preacher, isn't it, Pastor? You're going to live what you preach. Because I can guarantee you, the first one you teach is yourself. And I started doing that. And that's meant a lot to me over my own past and my own circumstances of life. So you have to get to that place where you can trust Him. God has already determined the path He has desired for your life. Our job is to discover and line ourselves up with that plan, not to create our own. So many of us create our own path. When we trust God, we're supposed to be receiving His path for our life. It's already prepared. Every one of us have certain duties, no matter who we are. God placed us here for a reason. It's time we trust Him with the path that He gave us. It's not our path. We align up with His. Psalm 18. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust Him. He's my shield. I don't have to worry about those past hurts. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Now, the enemy will keep trying to bring them up. Why does he do that? Why does your mind keep going back there? For one, your mind habitually thinks on it. So it's going to go there. That's why you have to practice trust. And use the word against that, to where you pry that out with the word. But the enemy's going to try to bring it up, to get you back over off of your faith and off of the word and back into worry and fear. He has to keep you there, because once you start trusting Him, He's done. He's done. The more you trust Him, we sang that little song, the more you trust Him, the stronger you get, the more your past is your past at last, and it stays in that rock of time. But if you don't do that, it's going to keep coming up. It's going to keep coming up. We must trust God no matter what takes place or what we may think or feel. Psalm 37, verse 39. I'm running through here. I have no idea where I'm at on time. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him.
Amen.
So again, we see what trust does. Without the trust, He can't do the rest of that. I trust, He does that. No matter who we are, we all must deal with trouble. During times of trouble, the enemy, if allowed to, will try to bring worry and fear into our lives. And we have to ask ourselves at that moment, where is our focus? If our focus is on the worry and fear and the problems, then that's what's going to function. Our focus must be on God and His living word, not on the circumstances. We must make a quality decision to always trust in the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. Psalm 56, verse 3. David said this. I love what David says here because we can all identify with this. Whenever I am afraid, have you ever been afraid? We're all going to face fears at one time or another. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. David's talking to God. You can talk to God. He made a decision. He said, I'm going to be afraid, and I'm afraid right now. He had a lot to be afraid of. Read his story one time. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. He declared it. He said it. He spoke it. He made a decision. It's a quality decision that David made. Verse 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? They can kill you for one thing. Well, big deal. You go to heaven. But if you, that's what the three Hebrew children did when they went in that fiery furnace. King, we're not going to bow to you. Even though He slay us, we're not going to bow to you. So they threw Him in the furnace. And what happened? They came out of there without even the smell of smoke. Because what did they do? They trusted in the Lord. And who was walking around with them in the middle of that fire? The king himself said, there's one in there that's like the Son of God. There's four in there, not three. And that's what He'll do when you're walking through your fire. He'll be with you in trouble. But you have to do the trusting. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. Make that your declaration. Fear, worry, and deception and strife are Satan's big guns, his big weapons. They are involved in just about, if not everything, that he does. If he's functioning, you can never find a place where those are not present. They're always present. Fear, worry, and strife. If you are walking in worry, fear, and strife, you are not and cannot trust God in His living word. You cannot walk in worry and fear and trusting God in His living word at the same time. If you're anxious and walking around in fear and worry, you're not trusting Him. And if you're not trusting Him, He cannot be your answer because you're not trusting Him. There's no link, no connection. When we truly grant our trust to God and set our love upon God and His living word, worry and fear are dealt with. But I do the setting of my love upon Him and trust Him, then worry and fear is dealt with. 1 John 4:18, let's prove it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The Amplified Classic says, there is no fear in love, dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels it. In other words, it gives it the left foot of fellowship. It says fear, and it just gives them the boot, you know, right out the door. That's what a love does. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Growing in love, the love walk builds in you a step at a time. And love and fear cannot exist in the same place. So when you're walking the love walk, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, Amplified Classic, when you're doing that, fear leaves. Fear leaves. This is another reason why our love walk is so vital. We must walk the love walk at all times. That's where you focus your life. Proverbs 4:23. I got just a couple more here, I think. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. This is why the love walk is so important, because out of your heart flows life. If you're not trusting, it hinders the life from flowing. If you're not walking in love and protecting your heart with love, life does not flow. It affects not only your physical life, but it affects your spiritual life. You must walk in love no matter what. When we truly put our trust in God, in His living word, a peace which passes all understanding comes into our lives, bringing peace and rest right in the middle of the biggest storms. Philippians 4:6. Now, the very first thing it says is a commandment. Be anxious for nothing. Are you going through anxiety, fear, and worry in your life? Have you had an opportunity, past or in the future? It says, be anxious for whatever may come up. It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how can I do that? By doing what we talked about this whole message. By getting in the Word, placing your trust in the Word. If you're not a person of the Word, you will wind up in fear, worry, and anxiety. You'll get there. Especially if you're a person that normally does things himself. I'm a very self-made person, they say. Well, there's no such thing as a self-made man. God's involved in everything. But we work our way through it. I've always done that. I make my way through this. But that's not God's way. I'm supposed to make my way through this, trusting in Him. I cannot trust God and walk in anxiety at the same time. I have a love issue and a word faith and a word and faith issue. I am not walking right with God. There's something out of order. How do I cure it? I get into the Word. I learn to trust Him. Be anxious for nothing, but, now this is what you do instead of that, but in everything, that leaves nothing out, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's involved because when you thank God, you receive. That's when you receive. When you thank God for it, mean business. So this is something I have to do again. Let your request be made known unto God. If I'm not talking to God about this, how in the world can He take care of it? And the peace of God, when I do those things, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, you're not going to understand this peace. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to be able to find where it's coming from, because it's God's peace. It's in you. When you do what He says and are anxious about nothing and we trust in God, that peace comes in because it's resident in you if you're born again. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is already in every believer. That peace which passes all understanding will guard your hearts. We just read in Proverbs where we're supposed to guard our hearts above all that we guard. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, then He tells us what we think of. How we govern our mind and what is in our thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, and God's Word is always true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What does meditate want? What does meditate mean? Meditate means to think on. It means to use your imagination. It means, and it also means to mutter. The word they use in the Bible for meditate also means to mutter. What are you doing? You're praising God. You're thanking Him. You're speaking the promise. You're declaring it. God, your word says. God, your word says. God, your word says. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord. And all that time that you're meditating on that, you're building an inner image of what you're doing battle with. If you have an inner image of failure, you need to change the inner image. And that's what you do when you think on these things. But you have to do it. You have to do it. And you can only do it with the Word and with trust for God and trust in His Word. If we are going to get through this dark time successfully, we must, and again I say we must, trust God in His living Word. We must also be trustworthy. So this is something, I know it's a little long maybe today, I don't know how long it took, but anyways, this is something that is of extreme value to all of us. We must trust. And we must be a person of trustworthiness. Can I be trusted? I pray that I can. I'm working on it. And whenever I'm not trustworthy, God will show you and will show me. But I need to make the first step. I choose to trust God. It's funny, when you do that, how other things just kind of fall into place. Amen. 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 Mother?
All right. Michael asked me to play this song. It's called Trust and Obey. You remember that old one?
Yeah.
We need those old songs. You know, there's people who go to other churches besides a church like ours, and there's lots of churches like ours with the big screen and all and the choruses. But once in a while, we just need an old hymn, right?
Yeah.
See if I can get this right. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's go to verse 4. But we never can prove the delights of His law until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Verse 5. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the Your word today. We thank you that you poured out your word on us today. We thank you that this is your message for us today, to learn how to trust you. We thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy. You are faithful. And we're made in your image, so we're supposed to be faithful. And we trust in you, Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we trust in you. And we give you thanks, Lord, that all this week we'll learn as we get excited about the Christmas season and try and do all the things that we have planned and see all kinds of people and maybe participate in all kinds of ministries and helping people, that we know that we do it because we trust in you. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good week, all.
Thank you.
And trust him.
Yeah.